I believe the Lord has a word for us today. I believe He's been speaking to us through His word throughout this difficult time, showing us what we need to do and how to trust Him. But I believe that God wants to do that even more this morning. You know, I'm kind of a all-in kind of guy, and pretty much every time I preach, I think, this is the most important word I've ever preached. But, you know, for this season and where we are today, I really believe that God's given me a word. So let's ask the Lord, as always, let's pray and open our heart to the word of the Lord and just ask God to speak to us this morning. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we pray, Father, speak. Your servants are listening. Lord, we just ask that you would speak into each heart and life by your word. And Father, that you'd have your way in us this morning. I pray, Father, you help me to say exactly what you want me to do, want me to say. And Father, that you be glorified in it and your people be blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, we are living in a time right now where there's so much turmoil, so much conflict, so much unrest. We're walking through a great unknown. None of us has been this way before. And you know what? There's a lot of fear in our world right now, a lot of frustration, a lot of confusion. People just don't know what to do. One says this and another says that. And so this morning, I'm going to tell you exactly what we're supposed to do. Some of you are thinking, how arrogant. Well, just stay with me, will you? But I'm going to tell you that God's word always has an answer for us. It always shows us the way. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And the word of the Lord to us this morning is not something real profound. In fact, it's rather simple. But it's something that we need to apply in our lives, and I believe that it becomes profound when we do that. This is a time for the people of God to shine. When you look at church history, the church has always risen to the occasion in times of conflict, in times of crisis, times of great turmoil and trouble. And I believe the church is rising to this time as well, that God is going to use His people. So many people who are hurting, so many people who are discouraged and in despair. And I believe that God wants to use us. We don't need to act like we have all the answers. We certainly do not. We just have one answer, and His name is Jesus. I still believe Jesus is the answer, and yes, it is just that simple. We need to look to Him. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with us. Through it all, He is with us. He doesn't leave us in the hard times. You see, when we don't know what to do, when we're confused, even when we are facing fears, He's right there with us every step of the way. He says in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You see, in all of the hardship of life, everything that we go through, listen to this, Romans 8:37-39, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, the things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all these things, he says, now you just create your own list of problems and difficulties and hardships. And you know what? There may be some small ones, but for a lot of us, there's some big things that we're dealing with. But whatever your list is, you need to know that you are more than a conqueror through the one who loved you. You see, losing a job, dealing with a rebellious child, problems with a coworker, betrayal of a friend, too many bills to pay, illness, even the loss of a loved one, there's nothing that can separate you from His love. He's going to keep you. You are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. It's a love that's bigger than our biggest battles. It's greater than our greatest test, our greatest trial. It is a love that is inseparable. It's unbreakable. It's unconquerable. It's unending. It never fades. It never wavers. It never wanes. It never grows cold. It never changes because He never changes. That's the love of God for us. He loves us. And because of that, we know that we can trust Him. We don't have to be afraid. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Because we can trust Him. We need to never forget for even a moment that He loves us and that He's going to take care of us. Sometimes in the midst of turmoil, a great storm, we get sidetracked. We get distracted. We forget. We forget sometimes the things that are the most important. And you need to know this. He loves you with an everlasting love, and that's not going to change. So what do we do? We need to focus on the main thing. What's the main thing? Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And there it is, church. You see, sometimes when we're passing through a time of crisis and confusion, a great unknown, we don't know what to do. Here's what we know to do. It's not any different right now than it always is, that we should love God first and foremost, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And I'm telling you, if we'll get these two things right, everything else is going to fall into place. We need to go back and make the main thing, and keep it that way. It's Mark 12, 30 and 31. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Jesus tells us these are the great commands. They're commands. They're not a good idea. They're not suggestions. They're commands. And let's just talk about the first one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. What's the key word here? All. He wants all. He will not share you. It can't be a divided heart. He's a jealous God. He wants all our heart. Can't be a divided devotion. It takes a total commitment to love Him that way. You know, love is a lot more than a feeling. Now, there's different kinds of love, right? I mean, I love coffee. I love my wife. Those are not the same. And I love Jesus. And I just want you to understand, yeah, we use the word love in a lot of silly and flippant ways, in some weird ways, in fact, in this world. But when we're talking about loving the Lord your God and loving your neighbors yourself, we are not talking about a feeling. I heard a popular preacher, very well known, nationally known preacher say, he read these verses and then he says, Jesus knows you can't command love. He just did. These are the great commands. You see, the guy was confused because he thinks, well, you can't command a feeling, and love is a feeling. But I got to tell you this morning that love is not a feeling. It is a choice that we make, that we choose to love Him, and we choose to love our neighbor as ourselves. As long as it's based on a feeling, I tell you, our relationship with God is always going to be in and out and up and down. And you know what? We're going to end up not loving people any more than people in the world do. No, love is about a choice that we make. You know, when Jesus laid down His life for us, it wasn't about His feelings. It was about a choice that He made because He loved us and He obeyed the Father. we choose to love him and put him first on our good days and our bad days, and in the times of great difficulty and the times of great blessing. No matter how we feel, no matter what's going on, we love him. Now, right now is a difficult time, and you know, we haven't been able to worship together. We haven't been able to hang out together as much as we'd like, and we haven't been able to greet one another warmly the way that we would like to. It's a strange time in our culture, and even for us as believers. And in the midst of that, I know that there have been some believers who have just drifted, just kind of aimlessly or gradually just kind of drifted away in their walk with the Lord, their relationship with God. And I want to encourage you, make a choice to put him first, to seek him with all your heart, to cling to him. You see, when other things would pull you away or you just find yourself beginning to drift, that's the time that you turn to the Lord and you just hang on to him, that you spend time with him in prayer and in the word, and you just love him with all your heart, a choice that you make. Don't allow your heart to wander and be drawn away. He so deserves our love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. This is why we love him. This is where it starts. It's because he first loved us. He reached out to us. He made a way for us to be forgiven. He made a way for us to know him. He made a way for us to have a real relationship with him. And we can't even begin to really love him until we understand that and know how much he loves us. But we do. That's our response to his love for us, is that we love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. And you know what? When we really love the Lord that way, it's not a duty, a drudgery to pray, to spend time in the Word. See, when we really love the Lord that way, it's a delight to worship him. When we really love the Lord, it's a pleasure to serve. It's not hard to talk to people about what the Lord has done for us and to share what we have with somebody else. But when love is not our motivation, then all of those things become difficult. All of those things become burdensome to us. We got to remember, got to get this right. See, if we get this right, everything else falls into place. We love him first. This is our choice. This is our commitment, that we put him first in our life. And so often when we make that choice, it's amazing how the feelings follow. That's why in the book of Revelation, when the Lord is speaking to those, he said, who had left their first love, he says, go back and do the first works. You go back and do the first works. You go back and do the things. When you fell in love with Jesus, you'll fall in love with Jesus all over again. But it's about a choice that you make, not just a feeling. You know, when you love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you do those things, it doesn't mean that those things are so easy. No, there's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be times when it's difficult. But because we've made the choice to love him, we want to please him in everything that we do. We want to obey him. John 14:23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If anybody loves me, he will keep my word. You know, so many people today pick and choose what parts of the Bible they want to believe and they want to obey. But if we really love him with all our heart and we make a choice to obey his teachings to the best of our ability, things like forgive, love your enemies, do not judge, pray for those who mistreat you. Why do we do those things? Because we love the Lord and we want to please him. during this time when people are so stressed out. There's a lot of people that aren't even loving their own family. Heard lots of reports of domestic violence being on the increase and terrible things going on in our culture right now inside the home. But it's not just inside the home. No, there's so much anger and violence, terrible things happening all around. And I want to tell you, we as the people of God, that's not who we are. No, we love one another. We love our neighbor as ourselves, not just our family, but we love our neighbor. We love that person who is rude to us. We love, the Bible says, even our enemies. That's who we are. You see, it can't just be an emotional thing. It's something that we choose to do. We choose to live this out. How do we live this out on a daily basis? You know, Jesus gives us a very simple rule that helps us do that. It's a rule that, well, pretty much everybody knows. Even if they've never been to church, they know the rule. It's called the golden rule, that you treat others the way that you want to be treated. Jesus said it in Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have them do to you. In Matthew 7:12, it says it this way, in everything do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. Think about this. That is the same thing that Jesus said about the great commands. He said that they sum up the law and the prophets. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. That's what he said. And here he's talking about the golden rule to treat others the way you want to be treated. And he says the same thing. For on this sums up all the law and the prophets. Amazing. He's telling us how we can live this out each and every day. You want to know how to love somebody? Here it is. Treat them the way you would want to be treated if you were them. If you were in their shoes. How would you want to be treated? This is how you love your neighbor as yourself. You know, whenever there's a message like this on love, I think that sometimes we tend to think about how others treat us. But I want to challenge you today. This message is for each and every one of us. That we would love God first and love our neighbors ourselves. Treat them the way that we want to be treated. We need to put this simple principle into practice every day. Put ourselves in another person's place. How would you want to be treated? See, how would you want to be treated if you were that other driver? Whenever I see experience a bad driver, they're out again. And whenever I see one or experience one, I think of my dad. I love you, Dad, if you see this message. But my dad's a bad driver. He drives really, really slow. Now, some of you think right now you're a good driver, but just keep in mind, someday you may be a bad driver. It may come to you. But my dad, he's been heading this way for a long, long time. In fact, I remember many, many years ago when my mom was still alive, she told me a story about how her and my dad and grandmother were going somewhere one day, and my mom saw some people walking out in the road, and she said, John, watch out for those people. My grandmother spoke up from the back seat and said, don't worry about it. They're going faster than we are. It's kind of like that. But honestly, when somebody is driving bad in traffic, a lot of the time I think, how would I want somebody to treat my dad? And for so many things in life, if we would just stop and think about others and how we would want to be treated, I tell you, it'll help us to love people, to live it out, not just something that we say we do, something we do in theory, but something that we actually follow through. Love has to be something that you do. See, have you cleaned the house and you worked all day at home and cooked dinner, how would you want your family to treat you? If you worked hard all day out in the world and you fought the traffic to get home, how would you want to be treated? And if you stood at a cashier, at a cash register, checking people out all day long on your feet, how would you want to be treated if you've been standing for 7 hours? If you waited tables, especially during a time like this, how would you want to be treated? We need to ask ourselves that. Jesus says, treat others the way that you want to be treated. And most of us don't ever even slow down long enough to think about it. We just think about how they're treating me. You know what we need to be doing right now? Loving God, loving our neighbor as ourself. Right now, even among God's people, there's a lot of opinions about a lot of things. And you can just kind of do the math that at least half of them are wrong, okay? And it's somebody else, not us, right? But here's what's right. Even if they're wrong, love them. Even if they're wrong, if you were wrong, how would you want to be treated? Well, I'd want somebody just to straighten me out, you big liar. No, we want somebody to be kind to us, even if we're wrong. We want somebody to be respectful and loving and kind to us. And I'm telling you, church, even when people are wrong, we need to love them. There's a lot of questions right now about faith and what it means to believe. And maybe the faith of some is stronger than others. Here's what the Bible says about that in Romans 15 and 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So if you're strong in faith, that's great. But you got to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please yourself. A lot of arguing in our society right now about personal freedom. And I just want to say, as a pastor, we need to refuse to get caught up in the political rancor of the day. Jesus would not do it. They tried to involve him in political arguments, and he would not take part in it. Neither should we. Here's what the Bible does tell us about personal freedom. It's Galatians 5, 13 and 14. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Praise the Lord. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in this single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And there it is again. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? You serve one another in love. See, we got to put aside the pride, put aside the arrogance, put aside the ridicule and judgment. Instead, we serve one another in love. That's loving your neighbor as yourself. Not always easy. You know what? It'd be a whole lot easier if people would just be nice. I mean, if everybody would love me, if everybody would treat me right, it would be easier. Can you say amen? Y'all are kind of quiet this morning. But we all live in a real world, and we know we're supposed to love people. And those of us who love the Lord, we want to obey the Lord in this. We want to love people, but sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes people are rude. They're not nice. Sometimes they're mean. Sometimes they're ugly. Sometimes they hurt us or they hurt our loved ones. And Jesus just leaves us no room, no justification, no rationalization that we can get out of this. He says in Matthew 5:44, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. I don't like to be hated. I don't like to be cursed. But I know what I'm supposed to do when I am. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. A lot of the church is mad. We're angry at the world. We're being persecuted. That's not our response. We pray for those people. We love those people. That's what Jesus said we're supposed to do. How can we love those who curse us and spitefully use us, treat us wrong? It takes the love of God. So we have to deal with that offense the right way. When we're wronged, when somebody offends us in some way, when somebody treats you bad, when somebody's mean to you or mean to your loved one, what are you going to do? Well, the first thing is that you got to forgive. I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through chapter 5, verse 2. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. All the bitterness, all the wrath, all the anger. All the evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Jesus taught us to pray this way. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, even as God in Christ has forgiven us, we forgive others. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I'm telling you, we have to forgive people so we can love people. Because until we're willing to forgive them, we can't really love them. We got to be willing to let go of those wrongs. We got to get rid of the anger. Got to get rid of the bitterness. We got to soften our heart, be kind, tender-hearted, and forgive just as God forgave you for Christ's sake. It takes the love of God. People need to know, though. They need to know that we're not holding a grudge. They need to know that we forgive them. There's a wonderful story in the scripture in Genesis chapter 33. The story begins a lot earlier than that, where Jacob, the deceiver, the manipulator, he manipulates his own brother Esau out of his birthright for a bowl of stew. And then later, Jacob deceives his own father into giving him the blessing that belonged to the elder son. It belonged to Esau. But Jacob deceived his father and he received that great blessing. It made Esau so mad that he said he was waiting for an opportunity to kill him. Jacob then leaves town. For 20 years he's gone. And after 20 years, he finally comes home. And as he's coming home, he hears that his brother Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. What would you think? I'm sure that Jacob was very, very afraid. He knew that he had wronged his brother, and now his brother's coming to meet him with an army, basically 400 men. Jacob sends a gift of livestock ahead, and then the women and children, and then himself last. But when he finally sees Esau, Esau is not mad anymore. Now the Bible makes it clear that Esau was a wicked man. But after 20 years, he had let it go. He had gotten past it. And he says, what is all this? What? Jacob tells him, in fact, I'll read it to you from verse 10 of chapter 33. He says, please, if I found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand. And as much as I have seen your face, as though I had seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. You see, he expected anger. He expected retribution. And instead, he sees that his brother is glad to see him. And he says, it's like seeing the face of God, that you're pleased with me. And I want you to know that when people have wronged you, when they've been rude to you, and they've mistreated you, and they said things about you, you know what they expect? They expect you to be ugly back. They expect you to be angry. They expect you to say something smart aleck or sarcastic back to them. But what they need to see is that our face, there's no judgment. There's no anger. That we love them. It's like the face of God to them. You know, I have a little bit of an earthly example that I get to experience on a regular basis because sometimes I have a really rough day from trying to make a lot of decisions lately and just dealing with life. You know how that is. And I come home, I walk in the doors, and there's my wife beaming at me. It just makes it all better. And it's like seeing the face of God or seeing the face of an angel. And I know I'm spoiled. I know that I have it really good. But I want to tell you something. You can make somebody else's day just by the look on your face. Being kind to people in a mean world where other people are being a bunch of grumps. Don't be one of them. Instead, you be somebody that's really trying to obey Jesus and love your neighbor as yourself and treat people the way that you want to be treated. We read it there in verse 1 of chapter 5. Be followers of God. Live a life of love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. A fragrant sacrifice and offering to God. Listen, he lived a life of love. See, when this life is over, they could say, oh, you were a hard worker. Oh, you were a good provider. Oh, you took care of your family. There's a lot of good things that people could say about you, but here's the greatest thing anybody could ever say about you. They lived a life of love. That's who we want to be. Follow the example of our Lord Jesus, who lived a life of love. We can make a difference in this world. We just need to remember the important things. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is how everybody's going to know. It's not because of our bumper sticker. It's not because we wear a cross on our neck. It's not because we talk about religion. And hear me now, it's not even because we talk about Jesus. The way they'll know that we are truly a follower of Jesus is by the love that we have for one another. This is what should mark our lives as a true follower of Jesus. And so I want to challenge you this morning, church. I want to encourage you. This is what we're supposed to do in this season. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we can't do that on our own, but we're not doing it on our own. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 5:5, it says that the Holy Spirit has poured the love of God into our hearts. He will help us to do it. Help us to love the unlovable. My prayer for our church this morning is 1 Thessalonians 3:12. It says, may the Lord make your love increase, 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 and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. We're going to pray, and I'd just like to ask everybody to stand with me.